Overspending on Amazon? Earn while you shop with Drop. Earn rewards on every purchase, online or in-store. Download Drop now and use code DROP11 to get $5 in points. Get rewarded for shopping today.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to the podcast. This is Allison Loudermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com.
And today we are going to be trading some amazing infestation stories.
Have you had any infestations at your house before?
I wouldn't necessarily call them infestations, but sure, we've had, you know, various vermin and pests invade our home.
Yeah. Like what? What have you
I did live in New York for a while, so I've dealt with my fair share. No, I've never had rats.
Well, it's New York. It's rats everywhere, right?
Well, of course. But, I mean, especially on garbage night, the night that, you know, people set out there, you'd be walking across the sidewalk, you know, on your way to whatever it is you were doing in the city. And the rats would come out. They'd, you know, crawl out from little alleys to get to the garbage that was by the curb on the sidewalk. Ugh.
Delightful.
It was terrible. It was quite terrible. What about you?
Well,
do you have some infestation stories?
Well, rats, this brings up an interesting story. I spent a lot of my growing up in the country, if you will. More of a country mouse.
In a country setting.
Yes. So I was used to squirrels, right? And then, a few years back, moved down to Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And, I had to drop off my, my girlfriend at the time, now wife, for a photo assignment.
Okay.
And, and this was like downtown Atlanta, and I pulled the car into one of these little parking lots that's kind of halfway stuck between this place, you know, kind of an urban contested space.
Yeah.
You know, and, it's near a MARTA track, which for you non-Atlanteans is the public transportation down here. And, I heard something rummaging around over, and I'm like, oh, squirrels. So I go over to look at the squirrels. And
why would you do that?
Well, cause I was new to the city. I'm just not used to being around rats all that much. So I'm like, oh, I'll see what the squirrels are up to. And what do I see when I get over there? MARTA rat eating a diaper. So that was kind of a traumatic welcome to the city moment. Luckily, we've not dealt with infestations of rats, but we have had some squirrels in the attic, which we dealt with, some sort of pepper sprinkles.
Yeah, you know, a friend of mine actually thought she had an infestation of flying squirrels in her attic, which I thought was pretty hilarious. But it turned out that she was a little deluded and there were rats instead.
Why flying squirrels? We don't have flying squirrels.
I think she just could tolerate the idea of flying squirrels.
Like, why not lemurs if you're going to, you know, go into fantasy land with it?
I'm not sure. But I think she did get rid of them. So today we're going to talk about some more historic gnarly infestations.
Some of them are pretty recent. So these are really hellish infestations in some cases. Some pretty severe examples that make our dealings with squirrels, MARTA rats, and flying squirrels seem rather
tame.
Mundane. Yeah. And so I'm going to kick off with the first one, if you don't mind.
Caterpillars.
Yes, caterpillars in northern Liberia. This just, last year, January 2009, thousands of Liberian villagers fled, like wasted farms, overrun homes, and pushed towards the border because there were just squirming masses of these black, hairy caterpillars just eating everything. They were even falling into wells, fouling up the water supply.
Oh, man.
And not just their bodies, but like their feces, like caterpillar feces was poisoning the wells and waterways. So it's just like scorched earth thanks to this caterpillar infestation.
So did they try to stop them?
Well, they're pretty tough to stop. We're talking like 46 villages were hit by these. They had aid teams, trying to clean up the areas and all. But the key would be to hunt down the winged adult moths that go off and spread even more of this.
Okay.
The winged moths that spread the problem even farther. They travel by night. They breed rapidly, and they also get really high up in the tree canopies, and it makes it harder to hit them with pesticide. So it was just a foul situation for everybody involved.
It sounds like a crazy caterpillar.
Yeah.
So, why don't we stick with the bug world, and I'll talk about termites. Here in Georgia, we are quite familiar with termites. In fact, when you buy a new house, you need to have a termite bond, which kind of freaked me out because I bought my first house in Georgia, and I remember thinking about this a lot and like scanning all the foundation walls for the tunnels and whatever. But seems like pretty much every house down in the South has had termite damage at some point or another, as long as it's old enough. So termites are ubiquitous. They're found all over the place. They're found in China. They're found in the continental United States. They're also even found in, places like South Africa or Hawaii. And termites, what do they like to eat? They like to eat wood, but...
Yeah, we know that from the cartoons. There was some cartoon, I forget if it was Mickey or Bugs Bunny, where they had the situation where it's like they're fighting the termites, they end up building like a, maybe it was Tom and Jerry, where they build like a metal house.
That sounds like more Tom and Jerry, I would think. Not Mickey. So anyway, termites build these huge underground nests. They can be as big as like 300 feet, and they make these nests out of kind of their own homegrown concrete. It's like dirt and plant matter and feces and saliva, all that good stuff. So they build this home base, and then they spread out, and they start munching on anything from, a tree to a high rise. And then once a year they take to the skies and they establish more colonies. So humans have built a lot of civilization from wood. You guys know this. And termites have happily threatened to bring a lot of that civilization crashing down. Most notably, and pretty interestingly, in 2005, we had Hurricane Katrina. You guys all remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in fact, termites might have been implicated in the hurricane. And that's because they had apparently ravaged sections of the flood barriers to the point of weakness. And this isn't a new behavior. In fact, the termites had already feasted on Chinese levees like in the early 1950s. So it's a bigger deal than you might think. It's affecting more than your house. It's affecting, structural things.
Infrastructure,
that are,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, those are two examples of some pretty sucky insects, really. So let's move on to what we generally think of as a less sucky insect. That would be the honeybee.
Okay.
Nice, clean civilization going on there and produces delicious honey, right? And we like to cultivate them.
Yes.
And have them grow their own honey and then steal it from them and sell it in little bear-shaped jars for some ungodly reason. So 1956, the Brazilian government asked a geneticist by the name of Dr. Warwick Kerr to breed a new kind of honeybee that would thrive down there and be really effective.
What does Dr. Kerr come up with?
Well, it's like something out of a mad science movie, all right?
Jeff Goldblum starring?
Yeah, I would imagine Goldblum playing... Well, either Goldblum would play the doctor, or he would play, the mathematician who's like, you can't breed these two bees because they're going to... he would be really manic and awesome about it. But anyway, so Kerr crossed the African honeybee with a European honeybee.
Okay.
All right? To create the Africanized honeybee. Which we, of course, know now as the killer bee. So it ended up being a really effective bee, but also just like a really aggressive, expansionist bee.
How fast are we talking?
We're talking 200 miles per year.
Oh, wow.
Which, for bees, these guys are small. By the 1990s, they'd conquered all of South and Central America and were busy establishing their hives in the southern United States. This is the kind of thing that made a lot of killer bees, I think, were a big trend with the news programs for a while, but I don't think I was old enough to really appreciate them at the time or to be fearful. But it's not just a senseless moniker. These guys can be deadly because they're far more defensive and far more aggressive. You know, a guy will be out on his tractor or something, and they'll react to the sound and just like in mass, you know, go and swarm him.
How big are those swarms?
We're talking thousands in a swarm, like tens of thousands, 30,000 killer bees in a swarm, just coming after anything that's close enough to, you know, make a loud noise or whatever that's going to freak them out, you know? The real tragedy here, that it's not just people that are affected by this, but other bee and honeybee colonies that just get wiped out in the wake of the killer bees because they're that effective. And they just grow through an area and bam, they're the dominant bee.
So let's just bury those bees and wander over to a new species, the red crab, the crimson crab over on Christmas Island.
The Christmas Island red crab.
Yes, indeed. Christmas Island, for those of you guys not aware of it, is an Australian island in the Indian Ocean. And for residents of Christmas Island, it's kind of a festive sounding place.
Yeah, there's even a song about it.
Is
How'd you like to spend Christmas on Christmas Island?
Yeah. Oh, right. I had forgotten about that. Well, their holiday season kicks off, not necessarily with that song, but with an invasion of 120 million red crabs each November. And these crabs come running pell-mell through cities and towns determined to get it on crab style, essentially. So it's not always the case. Usually the land crabs are hanging out in the rainforest just looking for food, but every year they have to reproduce, right? So they make this arduous trek to the beach to lay and fertilize some eggs. And as they go, they flood the streets, they march into your homes, they wander into closets and maybe hang out under your bed, and basically nowhere is safe for a few days. So that really doesn't sound too fun to me. I can't imagine like crunching through crabs as you're walking down the street.
Yeah, and then once the babies are born.
Right. So that's the
really
first
crazy.
Wave yeah. is when the adults come out to lay their eggs, but then you have the babies being born. So you have all these eggs finally hatching and you have round two. So all the adult crabs have since gone back to the forest, but all the babies are coming out and they invade from the sea. They come from the tides. And I mean, it's just like this wreathing mass of crab larvae. It's, you know, it's maybe not so attractive to somebody like me, but it is a wonder of nature, no doubt.
The cats just go nuts for it because it's just, you know, constant batting at crabs for days.
You always have to work in a cat reference to a
podcast. I actually saw a video that like the second wave's coming through and it just looks like it's like moving sand or like like a flood of lentils or something, you know? And then there's this cat just going completely crazy, swatting at this stream of crabs.
Well, and just to give you an idea of the scope, each female produces about 100,000 babies. So the second wave is even more massive. And then the newborns will eventually go back to the forest, as their parents do. But basically they blanket the roads and towns for days.
It's interesting too. I read that, that numbers have actually been down in recent years.
No kidding.
And they're blaming this on, an invasive species called and I'm not making this up, the yellow crazy ant.
Oh, the yellow crazy ant.
Yeah. And, you know, we often get bent out of shape over invasive species, generally with good reason, because we're generally the cause of an invasive species. But they say that if you look at the history books, you don't see mention of this massive red crab tide on Christmas Island, and they think it's because a breed of rat called McClure's rat went extinct there in 1903.
Oh, so it used to keep the population in
check.
Yeah,
they think that this rat kept the population in check for the longest, and then when that rat went extinct, bam, population explosion.
Okay.
And now we have an invasive species that's come in and kind of put things back into balance, perhaps. Time will tell. So let's move on to something else, something a little more furry and disgusting, perhaps. How about mice?
Ooh, how about mice?
I actually saw a mouse in the house.
Mouse in the house?
Yeah, about maybe it was a year ago. But we got those little plug-in things that may or may not work.
What plug-in things?
Oh, they make a little noise. Like they
mouse
make
in the house?
They make no.
Is it like a mouse doorbell?
It's like a little speaker you plug in, and it supposedly makes a high-pitched noise that only affects rodents.
Oh, okay.
But I've read some things where people were saying, hey, these don't work. I don't know. All I know is that the cat didn't care that there was a mouse in the house, so we had to do something else about it.
Oh, you don't have a mouse or cat.
No, she'll bring in the occasional chipmunk, but that's it. But these problems are nothing compared to what they get in Australia, where they, and again, you really have to see a video of this to get the full impression, but they have these regular just floods of mice.
A mice plague.
Yes, the great mice plagues of Australia. Like, imagine opening a barn door and the barn just vomiting out just blankets of mice.
Oh, that's
just
disgusting.
Scurrying and squeaking in every direction. You can't even step anywhere because there are like little bodies underneath your feet the whole time, like a living carpet. These occur roughly every 3 years in Australia. They run in through the grain growing regions and cause and get this upwards of $150 million
in damage. Well, sure, absolutely.
And they'll go like kind of like the crabs. They'll just flow through anything they can get into, except they're mice. They're a little better at getting into things. Like the red crabs of Christmas Island, these things reproduce like crazy. They can breed 6 weeks after birth, and a single pair of mice can produce 500 offspring in just 21 weeks. It's basically, we're talking 1,000 mice for every 2.5 acres of land.
Holy cow.
So, I mean, they pull out all the stops to fight these things. We're talking chemicals, even flamethrowers. You can find, no joke, you can find videos of this. Australian farmers coming out with the flamethrower, hosing them down with
fire.
Oh,
gosh.
And, I mean, it's like something out of, generally you only keep flamethrowers around for alien infestations, but they use them on mice.
So, and...
Oh, wait, there's one more thing. Get this. Another just astounding fact here. One Australian village reportedly killed 544 tons of mice in just 5 months. Just think of like the sheer volume of disgusting like mouse tonnage there. That's
a lot horrible. Of mouse tonnage.
But I'm sorry, we really need to move on to other disgusting furry things.
Like rats.
Yep.
They're larger brethren. So we can't get through this podcast without mentioning the Rat King of medieval Germanic folklore. And Robert, I know you love the Rat King. I don't really know why.
Well, it's Germanic, it's medieval, it's linked to plague, it's...
Right. So a Rat King was basically, you have several rats that are joined by tangled and broken tails.
Yeah, it's like if you put, like when you keep yarn in a drawer, and then you open it up and all the yarn is tangled, except in this case, there's like fecal matter and grime holding blood holding it all together.
Okay,
too.
That's disgusting. So rat kings are basically fictional, but the folklore went
that... Well, cryptozoological, anyway. I mean, there's some people that make heavy... They actually have specimens that are probably fake, but still, they have specimens of these, like, these horrible dead rats kind of, like, mummified and, like, tangled together.
Moving on. According to folklore, if you saw one of these rat kings, then that meant you had a pretty bad rat problem on your hands.
And probably plague, which would probably be a good guess if you had enough rats that where they can't even, like, congregate in the same area without getting intertwined, you probably would have some sort of hideous diseases on hand.
Right. Yeah. So you have some serious bubonic plague going back in medieval times. And today, rats, as we know, haven't gone anywhere. They're stuck around to keep spreading disease and mess with our urban infrastructure and pretty much everything else. Clearly, we have a pretty successful species on our hands. Even with sanitation and pest control, we just keep on having rat infestations, and I'm sure they're not going to go anywhere. So one of the most interesting infestations actually occurred at the Paris Zoo back in 2004. So employees of the zoo went on strike. And why did they go on strike? Well, because there were swarms of rats.
Parisian rats, as it were.
Swarms of Parisian rats were their key complaint. And so the Paris Zoo said, okay. So they had to have the animals transferred to other zoos temporarily.
Because the animals of the zoo were endangered.
They were terrorized by these crazy hordes of rats. So you had, you know, the lions, the tigers, and the bears evacuated to protect them from these, you know, squeaking, gnawing hordes.
Yeah, I think that's all you really have to know about the rat is that in the modern age, things like lions and elephants, the great beasts of the jungle, are protected in cages by their human masters. Meanwhile, the rats just run willy nilly over everything and pretty much rule the earth.
Yeah, so that's rats. What about monkeys?
Oh yeah, then the monkeys. This one, I don't know. This is actually more awesome than the Rat King in that it is true. And that's that if you go to New Delhi, you'll find a city overrun with wild rhesus monkeys. And I mean, it's to the point where people have caged windows, you know, bars in the windows, sure, and doors to keep the monkeys out of their homes. Because, I mean, just like, on a pretty regular basis, these monkeys are breaking into the homes and businesses. They're biting and clawing for bits of food and drink, you know, and, you know, they're totally destructive. There have been situations where they've flung HIV-infected blood samples in laboratories. They've thrown top-secret documents around. And in 2007...
I'm sorry, but that last one kind of cracks me up.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, where are you keeping your top-secret documents if a monkey rampage could possibly...
Am I the only one thinking of Curious George right now?
Like Curious George and the top-secret documents?
I don't
remember that one. Where's the man in the yellow hat when you need him? In 2007, a senior Indian official fell to his death from a balcony when monkeys ambushed his home.
Oh, so
that's like people
terrible.
Are dying, and you know, and top secret documents are getting mishandled.
Flung around by Curious George.
They're running in the streets, they're running in the subways, and the people of New Delhi have long held the monkeys sacred.
Oh,
so extermination isn't really an option. But then people aren't, you know, it's really been a struggle to sort of pick up the other end of let's actually like spay and neuter some monkeys, you know, or do something to control the population through sterilization.
Maybe they just need some yellow crazy ants.
Well, interesting that you mentioned that. For years they would have catchers that would go out there, monkey catchers that would go out there and catch the animals, put them in cages.
Okay.
But many home and business owners have actually, it's like a monkey arms race. All right. So the rhesus monkeys are running wild. Well, why don't I just get a larger monkey to protect me from the little crazy monkeys? So you have situations where people will have a black-faced langur monkey. And they'll have it chained out in front of their business to guard it.
So it's kind of like an Indian pit bull.
Yeah, it's like to keep the other monkeys away. And people actually end up like walking one of these guys on a leash to keep. And it's like it's just a straight up monkey arm race, and it's and it's horrifying. What next? What's the next step after the black faced langur? Are people gonna get like gorillas? And I mean, it's crazy. But that's what you get with infestations.
So I think we've given you guys some pretty good examples of gnarly infestations. And I'm assuming those are infestations that we wouldn't care for. I mean, do any of you guys want 120 million red crabs carousing through your streets? I'm assuming you wouldn't, right? But I have to ask, Robert, what's your ideal infestation?
Ideal infestation?
Yeah, if you have to pick one.
Well, I'm reminded of Mitch Hedberg's bit about how he wished that...
Who's Mitch Hedberg?
Oh, Mitch Hedberg is the late great stand-up comedian.
Okay.
And he had this whole bit about how he would totally dig a koala bear infestation because it would be the cutest infestation ever. That being said, I hear that koala bears can be kind of stinky. So I'm thinking, as adorable as a koala infestation might look, that it might smell kind of nasty.
So you're not going with koala bears? What are you going with?
I'm gonna go with the gecko.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, I applied some thought to this, and I was thinking like, all right, I love scallops, maybe an infestation of scallops, but that's not really like practical. How are they going to live in my house? You know, are they going to be in the bathtub? I don't know. Maybe I'd go for the scallop infestation, but the gecko infestation actually happens, like in the Philippines and Singapore, and they basically just like eat insects. And I don't like insects living in my house. Geckos. They're going to crap on some stuff, sure, and I might step on one occasionally, but the lizards are kind of cute, right? And they kind of blend in with things. So if one were to, like, walk across the TV screen during the movie, it might, like, blend into Sigourney Weaver and everything will be cool.
Okay. Want to know about my idea?
Yes, what do you got?
Okay, well, it's funny you should mention the whole water aspect because I was thinking dolphins, right? I like dolphins. Mm-hmm. I think they'd be, you know, pretty social animals, fun to hang out with. They could teach me some new tricks, et cetera, but... Clearly, the water is going to be a tough issue in the household.
They're pretty smart, too. That's a pretty smart animal.
Are you getting at something?
Well, I mean, it's like the monkeys are a problem, and they're, like, crafty and all. So it's like, I mean, what's the dolphin going to be doing in your house?
It's going to be, like, eating my food in the fridge
and
stuff?
Yeah, like, where'd the tilapia go? Oh, dolphins.
Okay, well, so I just
started... How's the dog going to get along with dolphins?
I'm not sure. There could be a face-off. So I discarded the dolphin infestation, and then I realized that I'm pretty much already infested, as are you, as is our producer Jerry, as is, you know, everyone. We have a bodily infestation on our hands, and what is it? Bacteria!
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Well, mostly I'm a fan of bacteria, yeah, generally speaking. And in fact, since summer 2008, I mean, how many bacteria are we talking in this infestation? Well, a bunch of microbiologists got together and announced that a regular healthy adult, and let's say you, mm-hmm, the bacteria inside the body outnumber human cells on a scale of 10 to 1.
Wow.
So I'd call that an infestation.
Yeah, like I would hate to have geckos outnumbering my cells 10 to 1. That would be a lot of geckos in one house.
Yeah, indeed it would be. So I think that about wraps it up.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in reading about, I don't know, roaches, rats, or 10 ways to bug-proof your home, head on over to howstuffworks.com.
Yeah, or check out the blogs as well, where you can read about everything from stocking stuffers for scientists to the P-Funk mothership.
And hey, if you'd like to tell us about an infestation of your own, bodily or otherwise, send us an email at sciencestuff@howstuffworks.com. That's all we got. Thanks for listening, guys.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Is getting gas at Shell burning a hole in your wallet? Get the Drop app. With Drop, you can earn free gift cards just by filling up your tank. Download Drop now. Use code DROP88 to instantly receive $5 in points.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.